Report Show at Effort Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program? What you got to do? You got to text me. Coming up still on the program, about an hour from now, we get to hear from Dale Jackson from Yellowhammer News and WVNN. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Glenn Murdoch. He is an Alabama, former Alabama Supreme Court Justice. Obviously, you probably have heard the ads on the show and others that he's an opponent of gambling, or at least the gambling bill that is, I think, on life support right now in the Alabama Senate. But anyway, we'll talk to him about that because he read the bill and he has some interesting takes on it. But joining us now, we do this on occasion every other Monday. Always a pleasure. From Citronelle, State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Appreciate you having me on once again.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. With 3 legislative days, are you having fun yet?
Yeah, I think I think everybody up here is about ready to go home. I think the fun is over.
You get the sense of it. Like it has been a long, long session, and I think people are, you've done about all you could do, right? I think there's probably a few things. I think ethics and the occupational license stuff seems like the biggies, but it seems like people are just tapped out.
Yeah, we've had a lot of, I guess, hot topics up there with ethics, the gaming, and, you know, a lot of the occupational board stuff that we've dealt with. It's just been a lot going on. Everybody's been extremely busy and a lot of kind of a pressure cooker, you know, this time. But I think everything's kind of settling down, and I think everybody's ready to go to the house, get a break, and, you know, we'll get everything regrouped over the off season and, you know, start preparing for next session at some point. But yeah, I think everybody's ready to go home, Jeff.
Yeah, that sounds like it. But you had at least one bill there with talk about that real quick in case our listeners aren't aware, the deal with the credit cards and the tracking.
Yeah, we have noticed across the country there's been a lot of push over the last 3 years by the federal government on these credit card companies to start tracking ammunition and gun sales, and basically asking them to create databases to track and keep up with that. And, you know, myself and a lot of lawmakers just don't think that that's the credit card company's job, you know, that they shouldn't be in sticking their nose in that. So, you know, and talking with the credit card companies, they don't want their nose in it. You know, they were not opposed to this bill because they don't, you know, don't want to be involved. But so we brought a bill, you know, one of many states that brought one this year to address this, that just says that the credit card companies are the credit card issuers and users cannot put MCC codes in there, which would allow them to track ammunition or gun sales in Alabama.
And that seems to have pretty broad support across the board and in that chamber, I think.
Yeah, it was a pretty much a bipartisan bill. I was really shocked, you know, even some of the Democrats that got up and spoke, you know, were even saying that they didn't feel like the credit card companies should be tracking any kind of sales whatsoever. But, you know, we know that they do it for marketing and basically to I guess see what items people are looking for or wanting, what the hot items are and that kind of stuff. But, you know, we just don't want it to be used in the wrong way. You know, I had a letter from federal Democrats that were, you know, asking these credit card companies to track this and to turn that information into the FBI. And there's absolutely no reason whatsoever to do that. You know, been a law enforcement officer for 32 years, and I've never called a credit card company and asked them to help me track a firearm sale or a purchase.
Yeah. Well, big news for you. Let's talk about this because this impacts us locally here. Representative, but the Mobile delegation, the House delegation, and it is one of the bigger delegations in the state of Alabama, but you have been elected chairman of it. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we, you know, we did elections at the beginning of the quadrennium, and Margie Wilcox was nominated and elected as our chairman. And, you know, we had no one to accept the vice chair position, so that stayed vacant for a pretty good while. And so we, you know, we decided to go back and address that and try to fill that spot. And before that came up, Representative Wilcox got another appointment that was going to be very time consuming and kind of difficult for her to carry both positions. So she resigned from that. And of course I was nominated and elected as our new chair. And, you know, hopefully we can, kind of get things settled down and on track and, get some local legislation passed. You know, we've had a lot of issues come up over the last, 2 years and, you know, just trying to take care of our community and make sure that we're on track.
And tell us about that. I don't know. When do you, is it effective immediately? What does it look like between now and say the 2025 session?
Yeah, it took effect. And basically, you know, even in the off season, I'm still overseeing our delegation office and the employees there and kind of making sure that we're, meeting the needs of our community and our constituents. That office is used for people to call in and pass along information to the legislators in Mobile County and their needs. It is where that the citizens can go to set up meetings with us or with others. But it's also, more importantly, it's used to coordinate with other elected officials across the county and trying to make sure that we are there and representing our cities and county in Montgomery. So it's a lot that goes on, you know, behind the scenes with that. So I'll be overseeing that and just kind of talking with people throughout the county between now and then on any future legislation that we may be looking at trying to bring forward and, you know, any needs that we have that we can address through this. So going to be a lot going on. It's going to be busy, but you know, I'm looking forward to it and going to enjoy the challenge.
Well, tell me something. Is it because when you think about these local offices and you know, I'm familiar with them when it comes to what they do as far as like, say, Congress and you have a problem with your VA benefits or your Social Security check. Or, I mean, is there something kind of similar here with that? That you know, people have an issue with a state agency, for example, they could come and talk it over with like one of the people who work there.
That is correct. And, you know, probably the busiest our office has been is, you know, during COVID when a lot of people were out of work and having problems trying to get their unemployment benefits. They were able to call our offices and we have, you know, numbers where we can actually reach somebody and try to get them results and get them help. And, you know, it comes back to we're able to do a lot of that stuff, you know, like your Social Security stuff. That's more of a federal office, but we still are able to put people in touch with like Representative Jerry Carl's office and put them in the right place so they're not getting transferred every 5 minutes and, you know, just trying to offer every services that we can.
I'm joined by State Representative Shane Stringer of Citronelle here on the program. I guess we got to talk about it a little bit, and I know you're exhausted by it, but the gambling discussion, what's the mood? I mean, it's obviously in the Senate's hands, but you look at it and you wonder, well, how much longer are we going to have to deal with this? Do you think there's any possibility that the House would have to do anything on this again?
I don't think so. You know, I think that it's either going to pass the Senate as is or it's not going to pass. You know, been a lot of kind of been a pressure cooker this session. And, evidently, from what I'm hearing upstairs, it is that upstairs in the Senate right now. You know, lots of tempers flaring and a lot of work going on behind the scenes trying to pull this off. But I'm afraid they're going to wind up, you know, shorthanded on, you know, the limited amount of days we have left.
Well, and here's the question. If you don't get it done this year, I mean, typically the legislature's a little gun shy. Not so much in that third year of a quadrennium, certainly the fourth year of quadrennium, there's, you know, it's just blocking and tackling and getting home for your reelection effort. I mean, do you think that this could be it for another few years, possibly?
I don't think so. I really think, you know, there's a desire to get gaming passed in Alabama, and I think that, you know, that all of the vested entities that are involved in this are going to continue to push and try to work on this. You know, of course, they worked on it during the off season prior to this legislative session, and I'm sure they're going to do the same coming up. Work on trying to get it, you know, kind of work out the kinks, and I'm sure they'll go back and look at the no votes and see what, you know, what their issues or concerns were and see what they can do to try to remedy that, to limit that. And, of course, with everything, they they count votes and, you know, just kind of see who's where, and that way they have a pretty good idea before this ever even, you know, comes up in the next session.
This video gambling stuff really, it really bothers me. Your colleague Jennifer Fiddler, I listened to her on Sean Sullivan's show on Friday, and the way that the video poker, it's all programmed. It's not random, but it's programmed odds. And you know, that stuff, Alabama's had a hard time getting just a simple medical marijuana program. We're going to leave it up to the state of Alabama to regulate this stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'm not very confident in the state's ability to get to where it needs to be to pull this off if this were to pass.
It's definitely a complicated situation, you know, trying to put the gaming commission in place and overseeing it and, I guess, regulating and deciding who gets the casinos and where and what locations they go. It's been, you know, kind of very interesting to listen to different ones, you know, that vote for it or for it, long as it don't come to their area or issues like that. And that's pretty interesting, you know. You know, it's really complicated, and I'd hate to have to be in charge of trying to put all that together for the state.
Well, think about this, in the way it's gone down. I mean, the people in your district certainly wouldn't want it in their district, would they? But I guess we're voting for it to be in other districts, but just not in my backyard. What's to ever stop it from coming to our backyard, I guess?
I agree, you know, and I think once the doors open, that you're gonna have a hard time, you know, slowing it down at that point. But, you know, lots of issues. You know, we're different here in Mobile County. We're close to Mississippi and Biloxi and all of that, you know. Far as the lottery, I think everybody would just about, you know, every poll we did is 70% plus that show that people want the lottery. It's the gaming part that becomes the issue. And, you know, right here in Mobile, we've dealt with the Biloxi police actually bringing homeless people from over around their casinos and dropping them off in Mobile County. So, you know, we've had a chance to see some of the issues firsthand right here in Mobile County without actually having gaming in Alabama. So we have a little better, I guess, understanding than probably most do.
Well, we can, once we get casinos, I guess that means we can start shipping our homeless to Pensacola or something. I don't know. But you're law enforcement, and this is one of the opponents talk about this all the time, and, I, you know, whether or not it's a talking point, but it does lead to an interesting discussion. What would you think crime? I mean, like, how would you police that? If casinos come in with the best of intentions, they want to just adhere to the state laws and they got, you know, their restaurants and their casino floor and maybe a hotel, but the crime associated with it, is Mobile capable, you think, of dealing with that?
I personally don't think there's no community in Alabama's prepared for that. You know, and if we pass it, we really should look at putting a lot of the money up front toward addressing, beefing up our law enforcement in these communities that will have a gaming facility. But it's, you know, we've seen it across the country, a shortage in law enforcement, and Mobile City is no different than any other agency. So, you know, we've got to find a way to fund the, put more money in law enforcement to take care of our men and women in blue and make sure that our community is safe.
Well, I guess you and I will talk about this again in a couple of weeks, and we'll do a post-session autopsy, if you will, for better or for worse. But Representative, we always appreciate your time, and let's talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a blessed day.
You do the same. State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. To make it work without you.